And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
We're the Pop Patrol. Head to the dirt.
Gotta give us what we want. Gotta give us what we need.
Worry about my posse getting jumped. Cause if we ever do, yo TB, pop the trunk.
Cause we make a pop the trunk and hit the switch.
Now act stupid, I'll pop the trunk. Now give me your ba-boom.
Welcome to Jalen Jacoby, in for Jalen Rose. We have the honor to get on this man's schedule. He's so busy. Media star, bi-coastal, digital, linear television, network television, local television. Richard Jefferson.
First podcast in space.
Richard Jefferson is here in the studio with us. So, Richard Jefferson, yes. Who I will not call RJ, does not like to be called RJ, little known fact.
Stop it.
Nope. When you come to the Seaport,
yes.
There's certain days you're here. We all do our shows out of the Seaport. Yeah. Sometimes you're here. Every day you come to the Seaport, fun goes up by two.
Well, thank you.
Productivity goes down by three.
1,000%.
I know.
It's not a good
like sometimes
thing.
I'm sitting there trying to work on the show or whatever, and you come over the corner. It's so much fun talking to you. We're hanging out with you.
You get to show me the special websites that we
yes,
get to.
I almost, let's not talk about those websites, okay?
They
record and broadcast what we say into these microphones. But like sometimes I should tell the crew that we have in LA and be like, oh, this is an RJ day. So, I'm sorry, a Richard Jefferson day.
Thank you.
So everything's going to be a little bit slower and later.
Yeah, true.
You've got a great presence, great locker room guy.
Well,
now I understand why they kept you around on the Cavs.
I just like to have fun. Yeah, it's like fun is fun. You know what's really fun? Having fun.
Fun, yes.
Fun is fun.
And I also, then I'm going to say something serious,
okay,
which is going to sound like a compliment, which is rare for me.
Okay.
Is I think that as media members, we talk about like the chemistry of a team or a locker room, but we literally see like 7% of the time you guys spend together, maybe less.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's very hard to evaluate that based on just that. Like, I want to ask you questions more like, what is like the burn, the hang, the flights? Like, what percentage of the time are you with your teammates in an NBA basketball season?
Oh, so much. You got to understand, like, okay, let's do a typical morning. You wake up, you have a breakfast meeting, then you get on the bus, and then you go to practice. And after the practice, you come back, you might have another meal. Then you go to your room for like 4 hours. Then you get on the bus, you go on. Like, this is, like, you're spending anywhere from 12 to 14 hours with guys, plane rides, everything. So it can get tense. It can get fun. It could just, you just got to make the best of those 12 hours.
Yeah. It can breed camaraderie, but it can also breed contempt.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It can get real thick in
yes.
there.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Long.
Vibes all good. Someone walks in the room. It's like, oh, vibe changed.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 I mean, that's, it's like working with any sort of group,
yes.
any group environment. It's always like at first, before you guys know each other, it's always like so much fun. Everything's gonna be great. And then like, fast forward 6 months later, it's like, well, that person hates that person.
Yeah,
so that person hates that person.
Yeah. And
that's the way it is.
And we're forgetting about you're adding competition and money. You're adding competition and money into it. We're not talking about time.
No, competition and money is not just in the NBA. That's every single job.
About, if you had to spend 12 hours every single day with your wife would divorce you. She would tired of you.
No, right? She's tired of me regardless.
Exactly.
We only spend like 30 minutes a day together.
Exactly. Yeah. So imagine that with grown men that are also competing against each other and trying to get money.
Yeah. Very quickly, is it true that you don't like being called RJ?
Is it true?
I call you RJ all the time.
No. This is the thing. No one, I've never introduced myself as RJ. No one in my family or friends call me RJ.
Oh, it's probably just that gigantic weird tattoo you have on your shoulder that says RJ. That might have something to do with it.
Agreed. I've told the story a million times, but I just get tired of correcting people. It doesn't bother me.
I will call you Richard.
That's fine.
Or Dickie.
So much. Yeah.
Crazy game last night in Houston. Kawhi and the Clippers still without Paul George faced the Rockets and James Harden. And James Harden was masterful once again. 47 points, 17 in the fourth quarter. Richard, so many are critical.
That.
So many are critical of his style of play and the Rockets style of play, yet they keep winning games. How many wins will it take before people start realizing that this works?
Well, it depends. You go back to the Suns, right? When Steve Nash won his multiple MVPs.
And there was seconds
or less. There was a couple of times where I felt like they had a chance to win the title, but ultimately the defensive juggernauts slowed them down. That's why Steve Nash had never been to a finals, right? He was a great scorer. They had tons of weapons. There is a similar coach there. And if you look at it, so yes, this does produce points. It is fun to watch, but it's very similar to shooters winning an NBA championship. That's why Charles Barkley famously said a three-point shooting team has never won a championship. Where the game has changed, the game has evolved. Golden State proved that fact wrong, and I think Houston, in order to prove that D'Antoni's system and we're just going to try and outscore you, can win a championship.
So I was watching this game last night with some friends, and James Harden is just doing things I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Like the sidestep backs and then getting to the lane and everything he does. And
deep three with ease.
We've seen teams try to double him, and they did last night, and he would break it. They've seen teams shade him to the left, seen teams let him drive the lane. Like, what is the best defensive tactic to try to slow down this warlock of a basketball court?
I don't know if there is one. I want to say, like, he is.
Is that doubles right now?
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying, especially with the way the rules are. So you can be a lot less physical, and
good point.
He is a master at
that's
drawing
a good point.
Fouls.
That's a good point.
Left-handed, so he's got a little bit of an awkwardness to him that players aren't used to seeing. You're afraid of fouling him on a three-point shot. This is similar to when Kobe Bryant was going through that stretch where he was just scoring everything at any 81s and 47, 40 points and 15 straight games, like that type of stuff. I don't think there is a way to guard him, right? But I do believe that this, when the game does slow down, when the game does change in the postseason later in the year, that's where you've seen those struggles. And it's just like any great player, until you do it on the biggest stages. And they've been to the postseason. They've been to a conference.
You don't have to win the championship to be a success.
That's not true. That's not true. And I mean it from a standpoint of, like, I'm not comparing myself. What I'm saying is, like, we're comparing him to the all-time greats. We're comparing him to the Michael Jordans, to the Kobe Bryant, to the LeBron James. Mm-hmm. Those are the people he's in the same conversation with. He's up there with Wilt Chamberlain numbers.
Yes, yeah, he's earned it with his performance.
Yes, so ultimately, once you get to that stratosphere, the next thing we need to see is it generate championships. Like, and I think that's what his goal is, but that's where I think some of the critique comes in.
Well, there was some more critiques being thrown around last night because Pat Beverly, famously an agitator, known as a great defender, you know, it's wildly accepted as a great defender, except for a gentleman named Russell Westbrook who disagrees. Let's listen to Russ.
Pat Bev trick y'all, man. Like, he play defense. He don't guard nobody, man. He's just running around doing nothing. It's not. As you've seen, what happened, 47. All that commotion to get 47.
Pat Bev tricked us. Pat Bev tricked us into believing he's a good defender. All he does is run around. It is worth noting, while James Harden did have 47, he was 0 for 6 against Pat Beverly. So, is Pat Beverly just running around? Did he trick us? Or is he legitimately one of the best defenders in the league?
I'm going to say both.
Hot take.
And this is why. A lot of the agitation is just to, like, get you out of your game. So that's not really defense, right? Like, he's not this great perimeter defender. But when he's locked in, when he's just playing good on-ball defense, he's one of the best in this league. So it is both. He is tricking you with all the agitation and all the hype and all the loudness. And there's some Draymond Green in it where it's like he's going to get away with saying more and doing more because he plays like that all the time. But ultimately, he is a good defender. And don't forget, there was a little bit of history with him.
There's a lot of history between the two of them.
And the knee injury. Yep. And that. Now, I'll say this. Pat Bev, I would take him on my team 10 times out of 10.
Course.
Love him to death.
Of course.
The play that he did against Russell Westbrook, he didn't intend to injure him, but it was doing too much.
It was doing too much.
And the guys have, like, dribbled up, like, oh, I'm going to call a timeout, then go and score. And he wasn't trying to do, but it was, like, a little too much.
We've all seen it. Now,
it was a little too much.
There's one thing I want to say. Jalen always says about loud points. Like, someone like Russell Westbrook scores loud points. Kawhi Leonard scores quiet points. I think he plays loud defense.
Yes.
When he makes a defensive stop, he's clapping. He's letting everybody know. He wants the attention. So I see, like, there's a little bit of that. He kind of, like, makes himself seem like a better defender, but at the same time,
he's a good defender. It's like Draymond Green when he does something, but look, those things can energize your teammates, they can energize the fans, they can energize, like, everyone.
It doesn't mean he's not genuine.
No,
he's not genuine. Doing it to trick us.
But I've seen both players, right, do be loud where it was like, well, I don't know if that's a point, is like screaming. You're just screaming now.
So there was James Harden's wizardry, Pat Bev's defense, but the best moment that happened last night in Houston was Doc Rivers and son. And his son Austin Rivers. See, Doc Rivers gets a tech. Austin Rivers just screaming for his own dad to get a tech.
Oh my God.
I love it so much. This relationship is just layered upon layers upon layers.
And it's
my question for you is, what is the text exchange between the two of them after the game?
Oh, it's awesome. I kid you not. Like, these are moments that, like, I think as a dad you would be proud of, right?
Oh yeah.
These are awesome. Like, I wish that I could be a coach and have Lil Richard or Lil Phoenix like team me up. I cuss them out too. Like, sit your little, you know what I'm saying? Like, sit your, I would go hard at them too. Like, I'd get thrown out for cussing him out.
If you study the history between these two, yeah. it's just so interesting because everyone's like, oh, it's nepotism. He got this contract. His dad's the coach. But like, the two of them kind of go back and forth a lot.
There was some awkward moments there, and it caused tension in that Clipper locker room. And it's like, look, Austin Rivers can play, right? He's an NBA player. He really struggled. He really struggled early on in New Orleans. And yes. a lot of people thought Doc bringing him in was pretty much saving his career. Because at that point in time, he hadn't really done a great job playing. And he was kind of struggling for being a top pick. Doc brings him in. He starts to get a little bit of rhythm. Starts to get confidence. And, you know, okay, you know, he's a player.
You know one thing I love about Austin Rivers?
What?
When he gets the ball, you can't tell him he's not Michael Jordan.
Oh,
like the confidence that he shows. Driving, jumping into two centers, and bouncing off. Oh, like, you can't tell him he's not Michael Jordan.
He will drive into a team meeting.
Yes.
By himself.
Yeah, and then complain to the ref.
There's five guys there? Yeah. Hey, let's go talk to them with the ball. I love this guy so much. This is my turn.
Well, the Lakers and Warriors were the late game. The Lakers handily beat the Warriors, and they did so without Anthony Davis. Kyle Kuzma played well. He's been playing well lately. Yeah. One thing I want to talk about the Lakers, though, is their defense.
Yeah.
They are pretty solidly number one in defensive efficiency in the entire league. Do you think they can keep this up?
I think they can keep up a top five defense, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be some injuries. There's going to be some. That's just over the course of the season. I think Utah is a really good defensive team. But with the Lakers, their size, you're talking about they play, you know, Dwight Howard and Anthony Davis together and mm-hmm. JaVale McGee. You're talking about two of the biggest guys.
Danny Green's tall. LeBron.
LeBron's 6'9". Kuzma's 6'8". Like, these guys are huge. And then you bring in Danny Green or Avery Bradley that are little. So it's like the way they rebound the ball, the way they get second chance points. There's a lot of things that they bring to the table that are just problems, right? And so on the defensive rebounding side, which is a big defensive component, how many offensive rebounds are you giving up? They're one of the best in the league.
Well, one of the problems they do have is the health of Anthony Davis, who after having nagging shoulder and rib problems over the last few weeks, you see him there not playing in the game.
Yeah.
So, Richard, what do you think about this nagging injury? Do you think this is something that's going to continue, or should he just sit out like 3 or 4 games to kind of get on the other side of it?
There was a big stat. Like, if you and I don't have the exact
don't worry.
Numbers.
We don't do exact numbers.
Okay. Well, who gives a damn? Well, his first 5 games, you look at the free throw numbers that he shot versus the last 5 games. Like, it was like 55 free throws in the first 5 games, and then the next 4 games, he had shot like 17.
When
or
you
something.
Have a rib problem, not exactly trying to bang against people.
Exactly. But that's what I'm saying. Those nagging injuries can affect how you play. And it's like, this is not a load management where we're making this up. Just like, look at it. He's not being nearly as aggressive. His numbers might look good, but remember there was a game where he hit 20 free throws. He had like 15 and a quarter, 17 and a quarter. So I think to get him rest, to get him back to that aggressive nature, because that's what they're going to need.
Yes.
Ultimately, he is the one advantage that no team can match up well with Anthony Davis, right? You go against the Clippers. They got multiple bodies to throw at Bron, and they can do that all damn night, right?
Yep.
Different sizes, everybody. They got a lot of bodies to throw at him. Anthony Davis is the one that
Zubac?
That's going to be your
Montrez is a little short for him.
Yeah. And for a lot of years, Bron was always your ace in the hole, right? Mm-hmm. He was always like, well, no one's going to be able to stop Bron. Well, they have enough bodies similar to the Warriors did when they were going on their runs. They had a lot of bodies to throw at Bron. So Anthony Davis is the one guy that you're going to want to be 100% healthy so he can be as aggressive as possible.
I'm going to say something you won't believe about the NBA.
Okay, tell me.
The Grizzlies and Hornets game was pretty good last night.
Ja Morant
continues. This isn't a fluke.
No.
Night after night, Ja Morant
around the back?
Does his thing. And they finished, too.
Woo!
Like, Ja Morant, not only did he score 23 and had 11 assists, it was the end of the game. Look at this. This is a game winner. Fumbles
with
a little
left,
bit.
With the
up
left.
On the whole team. Around the rim and finishes.
With the left.
I did not expect this from him. What have you seen from Ja Morant?
Well, he played at a smaller school. You knew his athleticism was there. You knew he could drop dimes, but you want to see it against bigger, stronger, quicker, higher level guys, and he's done it. But he plays with an excitement. And I think, like, when you look in Memphis, that crowd, the community, they love some Ja. And so it's great to see how he's playing, the way he's playing, the way his teammates are supporting him. He's special, right? And it's like, we want to see guys and we want to see people like be special. Trae Young, special.
Yes.
Right? Like, you're just seeing, it's like, oh, we don't see this all the time.
I'm glad you went down this path, because as a fan, as someone who really cares about the league, like, there's a little bit of a letdown when Zion Williamson isn't out there.
Yeah.
And you always love a new rookie.
Yeah.
And then Ja Morant has kind of like made up for that a little bit with his play so far. Richard, We have a segment.
Tell me.
Called What's Your Number?
All right, here we go.
Yeah. So when I get off work,
tell me.
I sometimes like to unwind with an adult beverage.
Okay.
From time to time.
What's your adult beverage of choice?
I prefer a vodka, but I also like gin. Oh, and there's a new gin on the market I want to talk to you about.
Are you a White Claw guy?
Only playing golf.
Okay.
There's a new gin I want to talk to you about. It is infused with elephant dung.
What?
Now, the makers of this gin are saying that elephants don't digest all the food, so the botanicals and the fruits that they eat comes through when you infuse the gin with the elephant dung. What is your number to drink a full glass of elephant dung gin?
A full glass of gin, that's just aggressive in general.
For some.
I'm not a gin person.
No judgment.
I'm saying that's aggressive. A full glass of whiskey. I love whiskey. Like, a full glass.
What is your number?
It's probably pretty low. Give me $1,000.
Yeah, $500. I'm sure they tried it before they gave it to me.
It's alcohol.
It can't be that bad.
Alcohol kills everything.
It's not like the dung is in the gin.
I'm not saying floating pieces of corn.
No rocks, just dung pieces. No. It's infused. It's been distilled or whatever they do.
Yeah, it's fine.
Mine was $500. Great point. There's something going on with the Minnesota Timberwolves. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
And you know who's really good?
Tell me.
Andrew Wiggins. Mm-hmm. The much doubted, the much criticized Andrew Wiggins. The quote-unquote bust Andrew Wiggins has been balling this year.
Look, the kids average, I think, 19 points a game. Like, now, one of the things, and this is what we've always said, I'm a big fan of young players scoring, but I'm not a big fan of, like, saluting young players that score and it doesn't turn into wins. Devin Booker, right? All of those years scoring, you know, that's impressive. I'm impressed with anybody that can score the way Devin Booker can. But now to see it translate to wins,
and
that's what's happening with Wiggins. So both of these young players, they're still young. He's only, 24 years old. And to watch these guys turn that corner, and now it's like he's scoring points late in game. He's making some other plays. That is where I think we get so impatient with young players. And like, oh, he's a bust after two or three years.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, some of them are.
It's also like 21 after two or three years.
After two or three years. That's what I'm saying. It's like, and it's like people are like, well, is this the year that Jason Tatum makes the jump? And you're like, no, like he's going to be a far better player at 24 than he is at 22 and at 26 and then at 28. So like, even if he improves 5-6% every single year, and I think that's what Wiggins has done, but the criticism of Wiggins is not his ability to score. It's kind of his motor and his approach to the game.
Yep.
He always kind of had a mentality.
My question for you is, do you think that his success is a function of the criticism? Like, do you think he hears it all and he's outside of the top 100 and he says, you know what, I'm going to prove everybody wrong?
Well, I hope so, because he's been criticized for quite a few years. Like, he won Rookie of the Year. He was doing this, but we've never seen improvement. His body never changed. He doesn't look like he's gained any weight. So it's like, how hard is he working in the weight room? And again, some people have a Kevin Durant body. I don't think Wiggins necessarily does, right? Like, you can change your body type. Everything that I've heard from around the organization and from people around the league is that, how hard does he work? Is he the first one in the gym? Is he the last one to leave? And that was never the case with Wiggins. That was never the case. And I'll go on record to say he was the last one there and the first one to leave. And he would still go out and give you 20, but that's not going to generate wins for your team.
So you'll never believe this.
Tell me.
I didn't play in the National Basketball Association. Not even a year.
No, not even the G League.
Didn't even get a tryout. So when we have people that have, we need them to take us behind the curtain.
Oh, here we go.
So couldn't help but notice something about Wiggins' teammate Karl Anthony Towns this season. He's playing with a little more aggression.
Yeah.
He kind of wants all the smoke. Let's just take a look at some incidents that Towns has been involved in thus far this season.
Okay.
Here they are against the Spurs. And, you know, he feels like he gets fouled there. And he does. And then Rudy Gay gets in his face. And, oh, Towns is going back and forth with Rudy Gay. Look at him, you know, doing this hold me back, let's get separated thing. And this isn't an isolated incident with Towns. Like, there was some time in Detroit where after a little dunk, you know, nice play, dunks it, and then watch the face afterwards, the stare, the scowl, you know. And my question for you is this, and there was obviously earlier in the year, there was a Joel Embiid incident.
Mm-hmm.
My question for you is this, you'll see the Embiid thing right here. Why do you think Towns is tough guy Towns this season when he wasn't previously?
I don't think, first of all, there's probably about five tough guys in the NBA.
That's fair
about
to say.
Five.
Maybe.
There's five. And, yes. And it's like, so maybe five guys, right? And especially now because no one really fights, no one does anything. But if this is where you can channel that energy, like Kevin Garnett would famously say, all of those antics, well, some of it was him, but some of it was like that's how he would get himself hyped up to play. Mm-hmm. Jason Kidd, on the other hand, would never speak unless spoken to. He would know, no matter how many people try to talk trash, try to do anything, he would never speak unless spoken to. So if this is what Karl Anthony Towns needs to do to play at a high level and to help lead his team into the postseason, as long as you don't get to a reckless space of like suspensions and like too much, I'm okay with it. Be over the top. If that's what it takes for you to go nuts and for your team to win.
Cause I think some of this is residual Jimmy Butler incident. Like, I think that the Jimmy Butler sort of like said, you know, these guys are young and they're soft and they don't work hard. And I think that both Wiggins and Towns are sort of like, you know what? Like, we're going to prove that that's not the case.
Well, you should take it. You should take that to heart, because what happened the 1 year that Jimmy Butler left? You guys did not make the postseason. Mm-mm. The one
you didn't just not make the postseason.
You were awful. One season that you guys made it is when Jimmy was there, and all of a sudden there was a bunch of problems and a bunch of beef. And look, I know that these guys are young. Karl Anthony Towns is still young. So like for these, both of these guys to go and make these leaps, but understand now, you've been called out. You've been called out by a person that is well respected in this league as a competitor.
Yes.
Right? Most important as a competitor. That's where he's probably the most respected. Jimmy Butler went from not playing much his rookie year to turning himself into an all-star player, into an all-NBA player, and one of the best fourth quarter players in the NBA from a guy that didn't play his rookie year. So to see a bunch of top number one picks show up and not compete as hard as him, that might piss anybody off.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. So now what are you going to do about it? And I like if this is why, and you don't always want to give someone else credit for your motivation, but whatever it is, I like the way they're playing.
In the sports media news cycle, 3 weeks feels like 3 years.
Years.
Right? It has been 3 weeks since the Celtics lost a basketball game. They lost that first game against the Sixers, and they have not lost since. They are 9-1 last night, despite Bradley Beal's 44 points. They beat the Wizards. How have they been so good this year?
Well, and it's impressive too, because Gordon Hayward just went out.
Yep.
I think Gordon Hayward was a big reason, and I think they've been doing a lot of things by committee, right? Mm-hmm. What was Tatum? 1 for 18?
Oh yeah.
One for 18 and still won.
You know, shout to him, because if I'm 1 for 16, I'm not taking another shot.
I don't think I've ever done that in my life. And not because I couldn't shoot that amount. It was just because I would just stop shooting.
Yeah,
of course.
Like,
well, Jason Kidd would probably just stop passing me the ball. He's just like, fella, wasn't your night.
We're done with that.
Yeah, but no, I think it's just by committee. I think they have a lot of guys on any given night, and they've had injuries to Jaylen Brown. They've had Jason Tatum was 1 for 18. That's the key to a good team. And this is why I tell people it's hard for young players to lead good teams, because if you're going to be a great team, you have to win one night where you're not shooting the ball well. You have to win one night where the other team is hot. You have to win one night when someone's in foul trouble. You have to win with injuries. And they've been doing all of those things. They've done all of those things. And it's like, most young teams, they need everything to go right. No foul trouble. They need to shoot the ball well. They need to play good defense and not turn over the ball. Well, a great team can have one or two of those things happen on a night and still win. And that's what Boston's been doing.
I'm going to say something that everyone's kind of thinking, doesn't want to say. Is like,
what?
I feel like the subtraction of Kyrie was an addition for this team. I'm just going to say it.
I think that's a little false, right? From the standpoint of this, look. They had a very good team. Kyrie, when that first year with them, Kyrie had them balling. They were cruising. And then all of a sudden, like, things started to change. And I think there's some dynamics on their team. We can't just blame one person, but yes, I think this is a better fit for them than
and
Kyrie.
And Kemba Walker's no slouch either.
Like, yeah.
They didn't keep Terry Rozier.
Yes,
exactly.
Thank you.
So they are top of the East, and the team that I picked to be atop the East at the end of the regular season doesn't look like it. The 76ers. Couple games ago, they needed a last second shot to beat the Cavs, your Cavs. And last night, they lost to the Orlando Magic. Yeah. It just hasn't been a great start. What have you been seeing from the 76ers?
I haven't been a fan of them. I have not been a fan from, not that they don't have talent, but again, Kevin Love was a shot away from them losing that game against the Cavs, right? And you've seen it. I don't think that they have a closer. They don't have great shooting, and they don't have a Jimmy Butler. They don't have a guy that they can toss the ball. And look, Joel Embiid is a special player.
Of course.
He is but they don't have that perimeter guy, right? Every team in the last however many years has had that perimeter scorer that can go get a bucket, and they don't have that right now. I don't think they have a closer. So a lot of people pick them because of their defense and their size. I don't think that they're the best team. I think that Milwaukee will be the team that comes out of the East.
So we're going to put you on the bench for a segment.
Thank God.
You're going to come back in a little bit. Maybe.
Maybe.
Damian Woody will be here.
Oh, Woody.
Let's get the people what they want. Get the people. Get people what they want. My kids are learning about science. They're learning about plants and how plants capture CO2. Well, what if we could help industrial plants be more like other plants and capture it too? Think about how we could help lower emissions. More and more scientists think carbon capture is the key to reducing CO2 emissions globally. It's one way ExxonMobil is helping industrial plants be more like plants. That's the unexpected energy of ExxonMobil. That man there is Damian Woody, a man who has sons named what?
Jalen and Jacoby.
You were built to be on this show, man.
Of course. That's right.
Thank you so much for coming through. Well, we start with what everyone is talking about, this workout with Colin Kaepernick on Saturday. Now, we know that he didn't exactly want to do it this Saturday, so the date wasn't exactly on the terms that his reps wanted. And now we've learned that the NFL will not provide a list of people that are sending teams that are sending representatives to the workout. What does all this tell you about the workout?
I think more and more time passes, the more disingenuous this whole thing seems, because you got to understand that the league basically told Colin Kaepernick and his camp on Tuesday, we have a workout scheduled for you on Saturday. No, didn't work with his camp at all. Say, you're working out Saturday in Atlanta, 3:00, where there's not going to be any head coaches, not going to be any GMs. They're all traveling, getting ready for the game. So how are teams going to really evaluate a guy like Colin Kaepernick who hasn't played since 2016 when you're literally scheduling him on the day before everyone is playing? I think this was caused by when Colin Kaepernick's camp released that letter, like a 2-page letter, making those statements, those bulletin points about the things that the league has not done. And this was, in effect, retaliation by the NFL setting this whole thing
saying
up.
Saying, oh, you want a workout? Here's a workout. But it's almost like telling a student that they have a test tomorrow. Like, what is he doing to prepare? Like, if I'm Colin Kaepernick, like, what is he doing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to prepare for this on Saturday?
Well, listen, from everything that I've heard, Colin Kaepernick is in great shape. But okay, who's running the workout? There's so many questions that need to be answered. Like, usually this is like a unprecedented move by the NFL to have like a combine scheduled workout for unrestricted free agent. But we don't know a lot of the deep details that's going to go into this workout. So that's why I'm really skeptical about this whole thing.
And we've also learned that my guy, top 5 MCs alive, Jay-Z, was part of sort of brokering this to happen. What does that tell you?
Yeah, when we heard about the kind of the partnership between Jay-Z and the NFL, I always felt in the back of my mind that there was this component could come about. I just don't like how everything has been laid out because it hasn't been in the best interest of Colin Kaepernick. Again, like you pointed out, you're literally telling him, okay, you got to test tomorrow. And you can't reschedule. Yeah. Be ready. The man's been out of the league for 3 years.
Yeah, like, I'm sure he's in great shape. But I don't know how many footballs he's thrown around in those last 3 years.
That's correct. Are you really trying to put his best foot forward to try to really put out a good workout where everybody can see him? I don't know.
So here's a good example. Like, you know, you're in the media now. You played professional football. I'm professionally in the media. Do you think that this workout is more about football or more about public relations?
Oh, this is about public relations. This is about the NFL controlling the narrative. Again, when Colin Kaepernick's camp put out the 2-page, you know, bulletin points about the things that the league did, this is about the league saying, you know what? We're not going to allow you guys to control the narrative. We're going to come back and we're going to put you in a situation where it's really untenable for Colin Kaepernick, because if he declines, you say, well, see,
look at that. Really about it. That's your last chance. Right, we gave him a chance.
There you go. So to me, this is all about the league trying to win back this PR move.
So to put a bow on the Kaepernick conversation, do you think this will result in him being on the roster?
My gut tells me no, because at the end of the day, just from a pure business standpoint, what's the upside of the, from any of the teams moving forward to have Colin Kaepernick on the roster? It makes sense, but from a business perspective, I don't see a team really willing to stick their neck out and make this happen.
If you bring him in, right? I don't think the backlash now in 2019 would That's be correct. The same as it was a couple years ago.
True.
And let's imagine this scenario. You bring him in, you don't play him, but you see him in practice. He learns the system. And then imagine towards the end of the season, you like what you see, and then maybe you sign him for the next year.
I will say this. I think some of these quarterbacks, like the Deshaun Watsons, mm-hmm. the Lamar Jacksons, you know, all these guys have actually helped him because these guys yep. are running systems that actually fit the skill set of Colin Kaepernick.
And those two will match up and we'll get to that game. But we start with this one. I heard you say that Mike Tomlin of the Steelers is the coach of the year. Explain yourself in this position.
Listen. The Pittsburgh Steelers start out 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
We're left for dead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Big Ben Roethlisberger out for the year. They've had all types of injury situations. They've clawed themselves back into the mix going 5-4 by basically going old school Steelers football, playing great Steelers defense, running the football, and they're winning games that way. So mm-hmm. how many coaches can weather that type of storm where you lose your Hall of Fame quarterback and still be in a position, I know it, albeit in the weak AFC conference, but be in a position where this team can make the playoff. This might be his finest coaching job in his tenure with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I think that's true. And it just to one point, it's not just the Hall of Fame quarterback. They lost Antonio Brown from the
correct.
Roster last year and Le'Veon Bell,
that's
who didn't
correct.
Play last year. But like that, the three Bs are not on the Steelers anymore.
And
they've
five
won
and
four in a row.
That
they've
right.
won four in a row. Do you have them winning tonight against the Browns?
I do have them winning tonight against the Browns because I trust Mike Tomlin. I've always said Mike Tomlin's like a blue chip stock. You know, I'm always going to go with those guys as opposed to Freddie Kitchens, who doesn't seem like he has a clue
you
what
know,
he's doing.
You know why I want them to beat the Browns?
Why?
I'm tired of talking about the Browns.
Like, when they're
3-7, when they're 3-8, we will stop talking about them. We can treat them like a real 3-8 team. That's what I'm rooting for. Because I'm done with them dominating the narrative. You teased this game earlier. The biggest game on Sunday is going to be the matchup between the two quarterbacks that you spoke about, Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. How can the Texans beat the Ravens?
I think they gotta beat them at their own game. The Ravens, they run the ball better than anybody in the National Football League. They control time of possession.
Yeah.
I think you have to flip that. I think if you're the Houston Texans, you need to control the narrative. You need to control the clock. Make Lamar Jackson play from behind. Everybody wants to see.
I'm trying to think. They don't have a lot of comeback wins.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's easy when you're playing from ahead and you're able to run the ball. But the one question that everybody wants answered is, can Lamar Jackson bring the Baltimore Ravens back, primarily throwing the ball?
Mm-hmm.
That's really the one question that we need answers to.
Well, you spend a lot of time in the NFL trying to stay in front of people, getting after the quarterback.
Right.
How is the approach different when you have someone like Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson back there where you don't necessarily know that they're going to be in the pocket like Tom Brady?
Well, see, I think, like, their styles are different because
okay.
the Baltimore,
explain.
Yeah, because the Baltimore, listen, Lamar Jackson is just a prolific runner at the quarterback position. So everything that they're doing schematically is tailored to him. So as an offensive lineman, that would be heaven for me because I know I'm running the ball, you know, probably more than 50% of the time. That's exactly what you want. Deshaun Watson is a totally different animal. He's not the explosive athlete that Lamar Jackson is, but the guy's like Houdini in the pocket. So I know that even if I mess up, he's going to make me right 9 times out of 10 because he's such a good athlete and he can make guys miss within the pocket that right now, I mean, he's right up there in the MVP conversation.
Well, we always say, like, take us behind the curtain. So take us behind the curtain. You're blocking somebody. You know that you've got an agile quarterback there. Do you do the same approach and be like, hey, man, you figure out where the hole is? Or do you try to kind of sometimes open up some holes for them to run?
Listen, you know, like I just mentioned that a guy like Deshaun Watson or Lamar Jackson can sometimes make you right.
Yeah.
It can also be a pain in the butt because you don't know where they are.
Yes.
So you could be blocking a guy, and then all of a sudden he skirts out of the pocket. Guess what? Now I get a holding call because of, you know, just because of their athleticism. Well,
yeah, because you're getting pushed this way, and then all of a sudden it's that way.
Right, and then the defensive linemen try to disengage, and I'm holding them, and then you get a quick flag, as opposed to, you know, some of these traditional pocket passes where you know where they're going to be. They're not moving from that spot, so it's easier for me to you know, protect the quarterback.
So, you know, we always keep an eye on you here at Jalen Jacoby.
Okay.
We know where you were last night.
Yeah, yeah.
We know where you were last night.
I'm a man of the people.
So you are now a converted hockey fan. Tell us about your experience with the Islanders.
Oh, man. First of all, it started off with a tweet. A tweet started up because I basically trashed the New York sports scene, saying basically we got two of everything.
Oh, you shouldn't be rewarded for that.
But listen,
you got the t-shirt gun going?
Oh, yo, I got it all, man. But listen, the hockey game last night was fire, okay? Like, it's one thing to watch it on TV, but to be at it live and seeing how these dudes are wrecking each other against the glass and everything and how graceful they are on the ice, I'm a fan. I'm a fan. And because I'm a fan, I'm official too.
Oh,
I got a big boy. I got a big boy.
What size they give you?
Oh, this is 4X, baby.
They must have emailed him. Yeah. They didn't want to be disrespectful. They're like, Mr. Woody, what size would you like?
Wait, no, they didn't even ask. I just put it out there. I'm like, listen, I'm an 18 wheeler. I need a big boy. I need a big boy sweater.
Oh, man. Well, there's nothing like a live hockey game. Like, I'm not going to watch too much hockey on TV, but if you haven't been to a live hockey game, you don't have to be a hockey fan. The environment alone is so much fun.
Yeah, man, it moves fast. Now, I think, you know, for a guy like me who has a short attention span, just watching those guys just go up and down the ice is really cool. The next thing for me is I want to see playoff hockey live because it looks amazing on TV. I can only imagine what it looks like live.
Demi Woody, it is time for some news that matters.
Let's go.
There's been an innovation in the world of food.
Oh, now you're speaking my language now.
I got two words for you.
Okay.
Something that will be on grocery store shelves.
Okay.
Two words. Twinkie cereal. What? Are you in on Twinkie cereal?
What?
No, I'm hating that.
Oh, I like it.
No, Twinkie cereal. What do you mean? Like cereal that tastes
like Twinkies.
No, I'm not. What? No, I'm not.
You know what? Can I say something that might be an unpopular opinion?
What's that?
Twinkies are overrated. Yep. Twinkies are overrated. They just don't have much to them. Like, it's like vanilla cake and like some cream.
I haven't eaten Twinkies in a long time. I'm more of like a oatmeal cream pie type of guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I'll smash a whole box of that.
A whole box? I think I'll smash one of those.
No, because them things like small, man. Like I need a whole box of that.
The Jalen and Jacoby Podcast is presented by Goodyear. Drive always discovers possibilities. Goodyear, more driven. Richard Jefferson, we're going to hand the controls of the show over to you.
Oh, here we go.
You can decide whether or not we discuss a topic because we have a segment called Keep It Moving. If you want to discuss the topic, you say hit the brakes. If not, you say keep it moving. Are you ready, Mr. Jefferson? Steve Kerr said something about LeBron James that might surprise you. Keep it moving or hit the brakes?
Hit the brakes.
Steve Kerr said that LeBron is the best athlete to ever walk the planet.
What?
Do you agree with Mr. Kerr?
Well, this is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
Yes, from this standpoint, I think basketball players are the best athletes on the planet. Start there.
Okay, no bias. Objective opinion.
I think they're the best athletes on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, look, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, like best basketball player, but as an athlete, like LeBron is physically stronger than all of those guys. So I think Steve Kerr has a little bit of validation. This, mind you, this guy also played with Michael Jordan. So all you Bron people that hate on him, like, oh, Richard, you're just saying that because he won you a chip. That ain't it.
Oh, no, you're just saying that because he won you a chip. Moving on.
Pretty much saying
that. The Blazers are in trouble. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes.
They lost last night to the Raptors, and Dame had 9 points. This isn't good. They've lost 6 of 7, and their one win came in overtime. What's going on with the Trailblazers?
I don't know because you can point it. Oh, they don't have Nurkic yet, but they don't have a hole in the middle. They got Whiteside that's blocking shots, rebounding, doing some things in there. You know what? Maybe it's a hangover from last year. It's hard to play all the way till June and then show back up and with that same type of fire. So maybe it's just a little bit of a hangover.
That 4-8 is going to turn into like 10-10 before you know.
I think if they have proven long term that they're going to figure it out.
John Wall did something unexpected. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Let's hit the brakes.
Let's hit the brakes. John Wall dunked in pregame while they were playing the Celtics. He obviously is injured. Does this give some indication that he might be back soon?
I think it means he could be back before the end of the season. I don't know how that works. I don't know what is going on. But if you're doing this, I'll say this. I saw Kevin Durant. You know, he's walking around. Kevin Durant ain't doing this yet.
No.
Right?
So yeah, he shoots threes without jumping.
Yeah, he shoots threes without jumping. So if John Wall's able to do this, maybe first of the year, maybe all-star break.
We have a Tua update. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Let's keep this moving.
We'll keep it moving.
Let's keep it moving.
The Cy Young Awards have been announced. Ooh. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Oh, hell nah. Keep it moving.
Oh, wow. Hell wow. You didn't have to go there. Vivica A. Fox is not happy. Keep it moving or hit the brakes.
Hit the brakes. What's up, Vivica?
Vivica A. Fox.
What's up, Vivica?
Said this about the Set It Off remake. It's a classic. Leave it alone. How do you feel about the remakes in Hollywood?
I think some of them are okay, but a lot of times they fall short, right? Anchorman.
Anchorman 2, what happened there?
Yeah.
What happened there?
Zoolander 2.
We could do a whole documentary about what happened to Anchorman 2.
Zoolander 2. Like Zoolander and Anchorman. Again, these aren't Set It Off. I'm just going off comedy. Second Dumb and Dumbers.
Yeah, those are sequels, not necessarily remakes, but you know.
But the same thing.
It's all the same remakes.
Leave it alone.
Richard Jefferson, we have some new information about James Wiseman. He's been in the news all week long. He played this week, even after the NCAA said he was ineligible. But there was a court order saying he could play until the hearing. But the new information is Memphis University has declared him ineligible for competition. He will still practice with the team, but they will wait until the hearing to declare whether or not he will play.
Yeah.
Interesting. This seems like Memphis decided, you know what? We don't care what the NCAA has to say. We're going to play him. But that changed between the last game and now.
Well, there could be more information, so, you know, we don't want to speculate. I think the craziest thing here is the NCAA is like, no, you cannot make us money, right? You cannot make us money. No, you can't. You can't even go make money for yourself, but you cannot make us money. So I think that, you know, again, there's been so much said about this with the information that's probably come to Memphis, and they see that those games could be affected other things going on there. So
they've dealt with sanctions in the past.
Memphis is not, we know how this goes.
Yeah, we've been down this road before.
We had Coach Calipari here.
Yes.
We're no stranger
to the sanctions. I mean, yes. I'd also say is regardless of what the court order says or the hearing says or what the end result of this is, who really loses is us, the basketball fans. I want to watch James Wiseman play basketball.
We're not going to lose because he's going to be playing in the NBA.
Yes,
so we just have to wait a little bit longer to watch him play. That's kind of the humor in this is that the NCAA, and I get it, they have their rules. Rules are rules.
Mm-hmm.
And they have their rules. And if he did something inappropriate, then he just has to wait a little bit longer, maybe four more months before he's a millionaire.
One of the things that bothers me about this whole thing is like this is all ties back to Anthony Hardaway giving the school $1 million in 2008. Like that's where this all started.
Because he was a booster.
That turned him into a booster. Essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shouldn't give schools $1 million, I guess. Yeah, I guess that's what we learned from this.
I made that mistake years ago.
Arizona, you got like a weight room in Arizona with your name on it?
Yeah, I got a gym.
Okay. Russell Westbrook on the Rockets. He's well known for not just his basketball play, but what he wears. Let's just take a look at him coming in to, I mean, what do you think about that outfit?
Look, it's Russell Westbrook. This is what he is known for. Like, he's a selfie king. He's a great, like,
a
photographer.
Sweater looks like a Finnish grandma
if I were to wear that, like, I would get murdered by everyone. They would be killing me cracking jokes.
If you were to wear that.
Yes.
Do you think you could pull that off?
No, but Russell can pull off anything. He could literally pull off anything, and he's tried to pull off anything.
Also, those pants cost $1,000.
He makes $40 million. We don't talk about how much Bill Gates' glasses cost, do we?
So I was wondering if I could pull off that outfit.
No, you didn't.
Let's just see what it would look like if you were wearing that outfit. Let's just take a look. I mean,
that's not bad.
You can kind of pull out.
Yeah,
but what's really helping you is the people you're with.
Yeah. That would be the only place that I would wear this. Yes. If we went to a fashion show, then I'd pull off something a little outstanding.
Have you ever spent $1,000 on pants?
No. I'm
what's the most expensive clothing item that you've ever bought?
Oh, a couple grand. A couple grand?
Yeah, like a nice suit, a coat? Oh,
yeah, I've spent
my
a lot.
My wife tried to convince me to buy a $1,000 winter coat, and I was like, no way.
I had a Ralph Lauren suit that was probably about six.
Big date night tonight for the Jacoby fan. Oh, big date night tonight.
Are you going to drink? A gallon of poop gin?
No. We're not going to drink a gallon of poop gin. I have to be up early in the morning, but sometimes a big swing for us is when we go to a dinner is like one bottle of wine, we'll split.
Yeah.
And then we'll kind of have this look at each other like, we do another glass, we do another bottle.
We are. Yeah, so it depends if you try to make another baby.
We do another glass or we do another bottle. But the thing is, two bottles of wine between the two of us, it's just too much.
Those dinners,
like, it's
they
like,
end well.
Yeah, you end up ordering three desserts. You know what I mean?
I just want to try one bite
and then
of each.
Like, and then she's bringing up some fight we had 6 months ago. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's over.
That was over.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
I think the best choice is always to have another glass, not another bottle.
That's true.
Always the best choice. But if I made the best choices in my life, I wouldn't be here right now.
No.
I have some very important scientific research information for
you. I'm ready.
From Yale.
Oh.
The scientists at Yale. You went to Yale, right?
No. Yale? I'm looking forward to Little Richard.
Oxford?
Little Richard is going to play lacrosse at Yale.
Yeah, because you don't want to pay for Yale.
Yale. Lacrosse
no one
at
wants
Yale.
That.
That's my goal.
Yes. Scientists at Yale.
Yeah. I like how you lowered your
tone. Have found a way to restore brain function on 32 dead pigs.
Okay.
Do you understand the implications of this, Richard Jefferson?
No.
If we're talking about what it can do for pigs or if we're going to talk about what it can do for humans?
Oh, we're going to talk about what it can do for humans.
Oh, well, yeah, I do. That means that given the amount that both of us drink on a daily basis, there's going to be a way to revive us. We might live 100, 150 years.
First of all, I take Monday and Tuesday off, all right? I take Monday and Tuesday off. It's not daily.
Oh.
It's not daily.
Well.
I take half of Sunday and Monday and Tuesday off.
It went half of Sunday.
Right around 2 o'clock. I got to watch the games. You know what I mean? So right around 2 o'clock, I got to watch the games and take notes and stuff.
Okay, that's fair.
So if you can bring a pig back to life.
Okay.
If you had the option. Like if you, it's like, you know, on the back of your license, it's like the donor thing. If you could check a box and be like, bring me back to life.
Yeah.
Would you check it?
1,000%.
Yeah, why not?
What are you talking about?
I'm going to check it unless I'm like over 87.
No, my only goal, as long as I'm still walking, is if I can walk, bring me back.
Oh, do you want to get semi-serious?
Yeah.
Are you one of those, like, if I'm a vegetable, unplug me type of guy?
No, this is my money.
Stay there?
Keep me there. Keep
Stay
my money.
Stay there?
Listen. Look. I'll tell you guys.
If I'm a vegetable, pull the plug. A party.
What are you talking?
Have a party and pull the plug. Make it a ceremony.
With the advances in science and with the advances in technology, literally, we might be able to pet cemetery somebody. Just dig them up.
That's what they're doing at Yale, dog.
I know.
They're doing that at Yale.
Why do you think I'm sending Little Richard there?
Big cemetery.
Yes, I'm with it.
Another important topic of conversation to have. I did some research for your visit. And by that research, I mean I visited your Instagram.
Yeah.
And there's a video of you and Channing Frye in Scotland at a wedding. Channing Frye stole pizzas from the wedding.
Yes.
Frozen pizzas. In the box.
Yes.
Scottish frozen pizzas.
Yes.
What is up with your man's?
My man's, you know what it was? He had had a lot of Scottish whiskey.
I couldn't tell from the videos.
He had a lot to drink. And, you know, look, there was a lot of kilts walking around.
You gotta soak it up.
The haggis, we had a little bit of haggis.
Explain to the people what haggis is if they don't know.
I don't know.
It's sheep intestine.
Yeah.
Sheep intestine.
And they had like pig's blood. There was like a pig's blood.
Sausage. Not bad as it sounds.
And so it was like really, it was at the
end
of the wedding.
Basically, like, it's like pig scab is what you eat.
And the after party went a little long. So we just found the refrigerator at the Scottish castle we were at and just grabbed some of those and took them back to the slave quarters.
Well, they looked like they were way underdone, tell you that much. You gotta cook those. See, I used to make pizza professionally. You gotta cook those pizza longer. Come on, Channing.
Yeah, it was DiGiorno.
There was also another element of frozen pizza that's very important to discuss on this
tell me.
Broadcast. I've never in my life, I love frozen pizza. I love all pizza.
Okay.
I've never in my life eaten frozen pizza and not burned my entire mouth off.
Oh, yeah. Go.
Never in my life.
The top of your mouth.
Even when you take it out and it's steaming and you know you should wait.
You know,
you're like, you know what? I'll let this sit. You let it sit for an hour and a half. Still going to burn the top of my mouth.
Can I tell you a proud dad moment? Right?
Oh, I'd love to.
So my little guy, he eats a pizza and it's hot. And he, you know, kids, they just spit it out on the table. I'm like, no. So you just put it on your tongue and then you blow on it while it's in your mouth. So I'm literally teaching my kid how to blister his mouth up. And so he has it. He's four. He has it in his mouth and he's like, And I was just like, I don't know if I'd be proud or embarrassed that I'm teaching you to eat something while it's way too
high. The blowing on the food thing, like my twin daughters are four as well. And they give it to me to blow out. Like, your air works just as well, girl.
Oh, but they blow it. Blow it all their food off the spoon. It's across the table.
It's like not even hot anymore. It's like blowing it. I'm like, this is stupid at this point.
And they don't even just like, oh, it's too hot. Like, you know, we can take a half bite and be like, oh, it's a little too hot. They like take it, put it in their mouth. Oh, hot. And just spill it out on them.
If you don't have children, when you do have children, you don't realize how quickly you will just put your hand underneath your kid's mouth for them to spit out chewed food in your hand. It happens all the time.
And my 2-year-old's such a little dick. Like, I just like try to give it back to him. I'm just like, here, eat
like
it.
A bird. Yeah, like,
not that hot. Eat it. Can I say that? Oh, his name
you
is.
Say whatever you want.
Oh, okay. Well, it's,
doesn't matter. This is the podcast portion.
Oh, yeah.
So the executives watch the television portion.
They don't listen to the podcast.
We can say whatever we want. Okay, we can say whatever we want during the podcast.
I saw the camera on and I just wasn't sure.
No.
Okay, cool. Keep it going.
We can keep moving. All right. We always say we give the people what they want on this program, and one way we do that is we listen to the people. So if you call 985-80-JALEN, you can leave us a voicemail. And if you give Reggie a shout-out and he listens to your voicemail, he'll put it on the show just like this.
What's good? First off, it's Rick coming straight from DMV. Shout-out Reg the Ledge, my guy. I got a soft move or boss move for y'all. Like I said, I'm from the DMV. But I am a diehard Cowboys fan. Soft move or boss move, being a diehard fan of your home team's rival. Also, right, want to shout out to my man Jalen, because I feel equally about this quarterback conversation as you do. It seems like our counterparts always get nicknames quick. I want to propose a nickname for my man Lamar Jackson. Starting today, he will be now known as Action Jackson, my guy.
That's a whack. Like, come on, man. That's been around. Like, you can't.
Yeah, it's
I mean, we
gotta spend some more time in the lab. And he sold it too.
Yeah. And I'm with it. I love the passion.
He's an entertainer.
First of all, Action Jackson, underrated movie. Carl Weathers, go check it out.
Not bad. We have some young listeners that probably haven't seen that one.
Action Jackson
is pretty good.
Yeah.
So he's from the DMV and he's a Cowboys fan. Now this is an epidemic. It's the old, like, I'm not going to be like the other kids in school.
Yeah.
You know, like, I grew up in Massachusetts. There's always, like, that one kid that's like, I love the Yankees. It's just...
It's the same thing. Live in L.A., there's always the kid that likes the Celtics.
Yeah, like, I get it. And I'm going to say it's a soft move.
I think it's a boss move because as a kid, if you have the gall, if you have the balls as a child to go opposite of all of your friends... That shows you're a leader. You're not going to just follow in with the same crew, right? Come on. If you, at 10 years old, like when you are looking for the most acceptance as an adolescent from your friends.
Yes, that is what you do. You will do anything.
Anything for their acceptance. If your friends jump off a bridge, you're going to do it too. Like, look, if they're going to say, oh, we're Lakers. Look, I like the Celtics, right? I'm okay with it.
Seth Marbin had a haircut. It was really cool. Like one side was shaved.
Yeah.
The other side was like long. And
did you try and pull it over?
Yeah, I did.
How'd it go?
It was awful.
But that's what you see.
I was just trying to do what I thought.
Was there a girl? You heard a girl say like, his hair is so cute.
Hair.
Yeah. And then you tried to do
it. Shout out to Seth Marbin. He's a great skateboarder. Appreciate the call, Rick. Thank you so much to Damian Woody and Richard Jefferson for coming in the show tomorrow. We have another special guest. One of our favorites. Stay tuned for that. We'll be back. Is that? KRS.
We're not done. We're not done. Got to give the people time. Give people what they want.
They my little guys. I love them.
What it do, baby?
Yeah.